Hello, and welcome to the Big Anxiety podcast series. We're recording on Gadigal land in the studios of 2RPH, which is a community radio station and radio reading service in Sydney. In this series for the Big Anxiety Festival, we're talking to different creative people about their mental health and their creative lives and how these things come together. I'm Barbara Sullivan from Radio 2RPH. Today I'm welcoming Deborah Keenahan, who was associated with the Big Anxiety Festival 2 years ago at its inception, and she was actually a very big part of that festival. She was an ambassador and she was an artist. She is back again in 2019. Deborah, as an artist, psychologist and academic, her work focuses upon the personal and social impacts of disability and as her experience as a woman with dwarfism. So welcome, Deborah. Great to talk to you again this year.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
What I'd like to know is how you're being involved with the festival this year. I gather you've got a few prongs to your involvement. So let's talk about, you've got a new work, haven't you? Being Deborah.
Being Deborah, yes. It's actually a virtual reality experience for viewers whereby they enter the art area, the art gallery, and they put on oculuses and all of a sudden they're in my world. They are actually being me.
Fascinating.
It's a way they're immersed into actual interactions that have occurred that I have experienced through my life. The earliest experience that they have is when I was a young teenager. And then it goes through right up to when I had my daughter and interacting with my daughter. And some of the blatant, painful interactions that occur that so many people seem to, they think, oh, it's a one-off, it's a, you know, it's just a fleeting moment in the street. However, what they don't realise is that often for people of short stature, of people with dwarfism, that these sorts of interactions occur so regularly that it can sometimes form into a discourse.
Yes.
That is, it's that discourse that is disabling.
That's right. Your disability is not dwarfism. Your disability comes from having to
cope with
this. People's
attitudes. Yes. People's attitudes to difference. Physical difference. I mean, for example, with the dwarfism, and of course, it is a physical condition that has a spectrum. You know, that some people with dwarfism have lesser number of capacities to move around. But, you know, we can basically do the same range of things that everybody else can do. Sometimes we just have greater difficulties doing them sometimes because the built environment isn't helpful to people of our stature.
Climbing up very high stairs.
High stairs. Yes, exactly. But, you know, the film, Being Deborah, is very much about the social interactions that are disabling, where people will talk about you in
with
front of
issue.
You as if what they're saying actually doesn't matter to you. Why should you bother? And all too often there are also situations that have a hint and a threat, and for some people it has actually occurred, of the physical violence, unfortunately.
And part of that is because people don't know how to react to you? People don't know how to communicate?
Well, as regards why people resort to violence is beyond me, but I suspect it has more to do with, you know, and this is just me surmising, more a reflection of their own feelings of inadequacy.
Yes.
It helps if you've got somebody else to put on, you know, the classic bully sort of thing.
So the film is following the theme of the Big Anxiety Festival, increasing empathy.
Empathy, mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it's quite interesting. With the Big Anxiety Festival, a lot of people think, or they talk to me about it, and they go, oh, so it's about my anxiety with my disability. No, it's not about my anxiety. My work, actually, the aim is to increase empathy and understanding of difference and to break down the community's anxiety with difference, the community's fear about difference. So that's where my work goes as regards the big anxiety.
Also, the other way that you're involved is with your awkward conversations.
Oh, yes.
And so last year you had a theme with that, and this year, tell us about what your awkward conversation with Deborah will be like this year.
Oh, that will be interesting. Awkward, but hopefully fun, because this awkward conversation this year is about disability and sexuality. So,
and there'd be a lot of things that people would feel very, very strange about asking.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Well, you know, when we talk about awkward conversations, we have certain topics that we consider are polite and appropriate in social situations. Like, for example, when you're in a social situation, you know, it's deemed inappropriate to talk about politics, even though everybody has an opinion, or, say, to talk about religion, because even though everybody has an opinion, and then say, well, let's talk about sex, and people go, yeah, what do you want to know? Because, well, sexuality is an inherent part of life, and it's a very pleasurable, one would hope, or at least it can be, an extremely pleasurable part of people's lives. It's an essential part of intimate relationships.
That can be enjoyed by everybody.
Yes, yes. But the thing is, all too often in many societies, well, certainly in our society, we can have this notion that, well, that's only sex, young and the beautiful.
Yes.
Young and the beautiful. But really, as we age, we don't stop being sexual beings, because, and we enjoy the intimacy, the closeness of, well, sex, and just the physical affection that comes with it. But all too often, when it comes to disability, that is something like, well, we don't talk about it, or it's assumed that, oh, help, what, you actually want to? You have a disability and you want to, and
doesn't stop the desires.
No,
even if you're in a wheelchair.
What it does, if anything, is increases your imagination. You know, who would ever have thought, like in my situation, that you would consider a step stool, a sex toy? But you know, you got to use your imagination.
So what are some of the questions that you think you might be asked in awkward conversations?
Well, I can straight away. And interestingly, this is something that actually comes up in the VR movie, whereby many people assume, make a very false assumption, that when you have a physical difference, that you are incapable of having sex. But the interesting thing is also, when you have a physical disability, that often there is also a breakdown of respect for aspects of your life, such as that. I have been in a public situation with a total stranger who basically looked me up and down and just looks me straight in the face and goes, can you have sex? At which point my response was, yes, but never on a first date. So it's interesting. There is often this curiosity, and I think sometimes that curiosity is more out of a genuine desire to actually understand, you know, a situation of difference and different life. And in wanting to respect these situations, there is a fear of talking about really important topics. And sex and sexuality is very important. Also, another part of that is reproduction.
Yes, it's not just sex for enjoyment.
Oh, no, no. It's the reproduction bit too. You know, can you have children? Yes. And what having children means.
Well, I think that many people just don't know how to. They are empathetic, but they are so nervous about saying the wrong thing.
Yes.
They don't know how to cope. So probably something like an awkward conversation would make them feel much more comfortable about how to interact with somebody in those circumstances.
Yes, yes. Yeah, people will often say, what should I do? I think the best thing you can say is, why not ask us? But ask us respectfully. And you can guarantee, if you feel a certain way about something, then chances are we feel pretty much exactly the same.
So you've got another couple of things that you're doing for the festival. You've got some online contributions on the Empathy Lab.
Yes. One of those is called Options for Action, which is myself talking with Marie Jenner, who is the Vice President of the Short Stature Persons Association of Australia. We're talking about situations when awkward things occur in the street, and sometimes they're difficult interactions that we experience that people witness and they go, oh, I didn't know what to do in that situation. What should I have done? I wanted to help. I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what to do. That is basically Marie and I talking about our perspective of what we would appreciate people doing in some difficult situation.
Which is exactly what people want to hear. They want to understand what they can do.
Yes. We start off talking about children's responses to us, which basically are almost always just natural curiosity. Parents go, oh, help,
I didn't know what to do. Questions.
Yes, yes, and they can be sometimes the most joyous. And children can be some of the most accepting and equalising of people. And they can be utterly magical in that sense. But parents, you can see we can be out in the street and a child will go, oh, Mum, there's a little lady. And you could see the mother or the father just quietly goes, oh, help, what do I do? Really, it's very much the parent's response that will impact on the child and the child's attitude. So,
and the child will grow up with the same response.
Yes. Whether the parent shows fear or anger, or heaven help if the parent even mocks us, which unfortunately we have had that situation, then the child is looking towards the parent for guidance.
Yes.
And so we talk about how we appreciate if the parent says, well, ask them. Ask them their name.
That's right. Open the conversation.
Yes. Open the conversation. So we talk about conversations that parents can have with their children. Yes, we talk about the sometimes really difficult situation where we get called out in the street, where people will insult us, always from a moving car, you know. So they
get away from the scene quickly.
Yeah, quick getaway, you know. And people go, oh, I felt uncomfortable. Well, if you felt uncomfortable, imagine how we feel. Imagine how we feel. We've just been insulted. And people go, oh, I didn't know what to do. Well, you know, appreciate checking in. Also, we have the extreme situations where we both know people who have been assaulted, and thrown.
Horrendous.
And people go, what do you do? And that's what At Work is talking about.
Now, you're an unbelievably accomplished woman, lecturing out at Western Sydney University.
Yes.
And when I spoke to you 2 years ago, you had a PhD in psychology.
Yes.
And you were embarking on another PhD,
yes,
I believe.
Yes.
So do we call you Dr.
Doctor? Well, many of my students actually refer to me as Dr. Deb. It's kind of nice, isn't it?
So how's that progressing?
I would like to think it's coming along well. Yes, that's in visual arts, and that's with UNSW. That is where I'm looking at disability aesthetics and the representation of disability aesthetics. Or what my work's particularly trying to do is establish a definition of disability aesthetics that's focusing on a critical social model of disability, particularly focusing on the representation of dwarfism. But it's capturing those moments when disability actually is established at that point of interaction.
You seem to be the first person who has this particular condition that has really, really spoken out and made this a very public conversation. Would you agree with that?
I would be significantly more humble. There are actually many people with this condition who have spoken out in different parts of the world. For example, there is Professor Tom Shakespeare over in England, who is significant in the area of social theory and disability theory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a number of different artists. I currently, with my focus being in the area that it is, on dwarfism and sexuality and looking at the disability aesthetics from the point of view of the interactions, I think I could reasonably say that is challenging some ideas and some points. There are many people putting forward different perspectives, and that's exactly what we need. Many, many, many different perspectives.
But you do it with a twinkle in your eye.
Well, yeah, I hope so.
You do.
And I hope so.
Which makes people feel that they can really talk to you.
To me, that's really important, because that's the whole thing, is reaching out to people. Because I very much think about, I'm also not just doing this for me, I'm doing it for my daughter, and I'm doing it for the community of people who are different, and that we need the boundaries being broken down. We need the walls to be broken down. If I can chip away, then that's exactly what I will do.
Well, you're also, in allowing people to understand what it is to be empathetic, you're lessening their anxiety, which is we're all afflicted with.
Yes, it's fear, which is an aspect of anxiety, is very strong at the moment in many ways about all sorts of things that are happening in the world.
Yes.
And if we just have this general malaise of fear, then anybody who is slightly different, well, we're certainly going to be fearful of them. You know, if we can break down that little bit of misunderstanding about difference, then hopefully it makes a positive change.
Well, there are a lot worse things to be fearful about. The best thing we can do is not be fearful about our fellow man.
Well, you would think so. But you see, all too often too, I think when it comes to disability, for the general public, it is something that they fear from the point of view of, I don't want that to happen to me. But the fact of the matter is, and this is what I say to many of my students, is that, well, if you're really lucky, you will actually become disabled. And you can see the looks on their face, and I go, well, why do you think I would say that? And often I'll say, oh, because you want us to understand what it feels like or what it means, and you want us to have... I said, no. It's simply because, at the very least, it means you have lived a long life. Because with age comes disability. So it is the one vulnerable group, the one minority group, that we actually all have the capacity of becoming a part of through the simple act, the developmental act of aging.
So true. Deborah, thank you so much for chatting today and talking about your role in the Big Anxiety Festival and what it is that drives you to be such a public part of it. And everyone will be greatly enhanced by going along to see and hear your work.
Thank you very much, and I certainly hope so, and every other aspect of the festival, because it's a wonderful, wonderful event.
I have been speaking with Deborah Keenahan, who is an artist with achondroplasia, or dwarfism, and who has been involved with the Big Anxiety Festival since its inception. As an artist, psychologist, and academic, Deborah's work focuses on the personal and social impacts of disability. We'd love you to come back and listen to other podcasts featuring artists and festival ambassadors in conversation with Beck Dean, curator of the Big Anxiety, and me, Barbara Sullivan, from Radio 2RPH.